This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining us again for another podcast. We are so excited that you have decided to join us. We have a great show for you today. And I first want to turn it over to my co-host, Tiffany, to say hello.
Hey, friends. How's everyone doing today?
We're just really excited to have you. And for our first ever guest, we're so excited about this. We have Kenda Moss from the eCenter. And you might remember, if you are a listener of our podcast, that we definitely talked her up last week. Just about how much we did, just about how much her story impacted us, how much we just saw God really move in her life. And it was profound. It was just an awesome, awesome thing. So we wanted to have her on. So Kenda, thank you for joining us today. We're glad to have you.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to be here. And gosh, I don't want anybody to think I'm not something that other than I am. I'm just an incredible mess that needs Jesus more than anybody else. But grateful to be here. Thanks for having me.
Amen to that. Thank you.
The beauty of that is we are all a mess. And those that say that they aren't are lying. So there's their mess, right?
That's right. You got that right. You got that right.
So Kenda, your story, when we heard it last week, Tiffany and I, like I said, we had the pleasure of hearing you talk at CST, and CST is Childhood Sexual Trauma. It is a wonderful group from Crossroads Church that is local here in Cincinnati. You came in and shared a little bit about your story and also gave a lot of really great insights into the effects of trauma, and more specifically, sexual trauma and sexual abuse. And it was just some really great information. You gave some really great exercises and things for handling anxiety and stuff, which was wonderful. I've already used some of those.
Me too.
But just share a little bit about yourself and your story. And maybe a little bit later on, we could talk a little bit about the Eve Center.
Sure, absolutely. Well, part of the reason I have gotten to know how to use some of these tools to help with the trauma response is because that's a part of my story. And I didn't even know that was a part of my story until about 15, 16 years ago. So leading up until that time, I had been married for 18 years, happily married with two kids, just absolutely love my family. I think from the outside looking in, people would think we had the perfect life. We owned our own business, a photography studio. Our kids were active and smart in school and active in sports. And we both were active in the church. From the outside looking in, it probably looked like we had this, you know, perfect little Christian life going on. And I think to a certain extent, I felt that way. And at the same time, I'm in some Bible studies at church. And during one of those Bible studies, when I'm in my mid-30s, the Lord thought it the right time to bring up repressed memories of the childhood sexual trauma that I had experienced. So until I was in my mid-30s, I did not even know that childhood sexual trauma was a part of my story. But after discovering that, after realizing that, looking back, I can see so much impact that makes sense now, but didn't make sense then. Yeah. So as I was going through a Beth Moore Bible study on the life of Joseph and the Old Testament Joseph, and as Beth Moore was talking about Joseph unveiling the family secret, because Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery, told their father that he had been mauled by wild animals. And Joseph has an incredible story of just trauma after trauma. And yet the Bible says the Lord was with him. And as we're going through this story, and Joseph becomes the second command in Egypt, and during a famine, he's got the only food in the entire territory. And his brothers have to come meet him, and they don't know it's him they're going to meet. And all of a sudden, they have to explain to their dad why Joseph is still alive. It's the family secret. And as soon as I heard those words, family secret, The Lord kind of started to unveil the fact that I had a family secret. And the man who is a family member who did this to me, his name was just rolling in my head over and over again. And though my memories to this day are extremely vague, I have two little vague memories. I now know that that abuse started much younger than I knew of and lasted longer than I knew of. There were many more events than just two, though I only have a memory of two. But also part of why I even know that is because I decided I needed to unveil this family secret for two reasons. One, the Lord made it clear he was going to use it for ministry purposes. And two, during this Bible study, Beth Moore was talking about how sometimes sharing that secret with the person who sinned against you gives them an opportunity to seek forgiveness for something they need forgiveness for, and they're probably not going to ever bring it up or seek forgiveness. And so one of the first things I did was write a letter to my perpetrator, letting him know these memories came up, I know this happened, and letting him know that he was forgiven, that I forgive him because Jesus forgave me. The funny thing, at that time, I did that very quickly. I'm the kind of person that jumps in and does things very quickly. I had yet really to do any kind of healing on my own or even realizing the impact of that abuse. And since then, I've spent years both in counseling and in school, and now as the executive director of the Eve Center, walking with women through healing. I've spent years learning what the impact was, accepting that impact is a part of my life, and starting to heal from that impact. Because when your brain does things at 3, 4, 5 years old that get kind of set in your brain, in your automatic brain system, it takes a lot of work to overcome that. The neat thing is, it's overcomable. The neat thing is the brain can rewrite itself, but it does take effort. Mm-hmm. And so part of what I have done in rewriting the brain as a Christian is transform my mind by scripture. So I want to bring a few of those up now and then share a little bit of where I have seen God in the whole healing process. So my like go to life healing scripture is Psalm 30:11-12. You turned my wailing into dancing. Mm. You removed my sackcloth and you clothed me with joy that my heart may sing to you forever. And of course, where there was once wailing in my life, there's now rejoicing.
Yes.
Where there once was sackcloth and ashes, it felt itchy and yucky and horrible. There's now rejoicing and my heart sings to the Lord, even though this is a part of my story. And I know that one of the biggest things women have to wrestle with, especially if they're believers in God, is if God's all good and all powerful, where the heck was he during all of it?
Yeah. I've asked the question before myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's a question that David, the writer of Psalms, asks over and over as he writes the Psalms. He's constantly asking, how long, O Lord, am I going to have to wrestle with these thoughts forever? And so in that wrestling journey, the beauty of it now is that I now have an understanding and a love for the Lord that is deeper than it could have been without the abuse. And I know that sounds strange, but it's definitely true. Part of that is the forgiveness journey that the Lord took me on. And we can talk about that if you guys want to. But before that, just because I know the focus of this podcast is, you know, where is God in all of this? There were just so many ways that God showed up in this season where he revealed these memories. The first of which, about 6 months before he revealed these memories, a new youth pastor came on board, and my husband and I were youth leaders, and he made us fill out this form. And on that form, it asked if you had ever had any childhood sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. And this is 6 months before the memories. And yet my brain said I couldn't check no. And I wrote outside, I didn't check no and I didn't check yes. I wrote next to it, interesting question or something like that, ask me about it. Of course, she never asked me about it, right? And I didn't even think about it again. I didn't think about it until a couple years later. And then 2 weeks before this specific Bible study about Joseph's family secret being revealed, a woman in the Bible study, you know that, I think a lot of Bible studies has that woman that's like crazy in tune with the Spirit, like really freakishly in tune with the Spirit. So that was this woman, her name was Cindy. And she said, people, guys, we all need to pray for Kenda. And I remember thinking, no, you don't, I'm fine. There's nothing going on in my life, I'm perfectly fine. And I was not as a mature Christian back then. And, you know, they put me in the middle of the room and all huddled around me. And I was so uncomfortable, it wasn't even funny. And the whole time they're praying over me, I'm like going, these ladies are crazy. There's nothing wrong. I don't know what's going on. Then 2 weeks later, God reveals these memories. And wow. I have this incredible support system of these women who are just right there to walk me through the initial trauma response of, wow, this is a part of my story.
Wow.
Yeah. What can I ask, like when they were praying for you and you at this point didn't know, but yet the Holy Spirit had orchestrated that, do you remember anything specific that they were praying for that kind of came to fruition or?
I do not. And I'm not connected with Cindy anymore who said this prayer. And yet I see her liking my posts on Facebook all the time. And I'm like, I need to have a conversation with her. I need to go back and talk to her. Because I have no memory of what that is. And to be honest, I don't know how much of it I heard because I was talking to myself so much going, what is that? There's nothing wrong with me. What are these ladies doing? I'm fine. So wow. I can remember having this internal conversation battling against them praying over me, just didn't have the humility at that time to receive it.
Do you think any of that too was an unconscious, like, I'm going to protect myself, I'm going to put up this wall, but I'm just fine, everything's fine. You know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And even more of seeing God in this story. So it could be that I would have kept the story more quiet, except when all this happened, this new youth pastor that had come in had just started a series on healthy sexuality. Oh. And the next week, we were supposed to break into male and female, and I was supposed to lead the females in discussing healthy sexuality. And as I got together with the team of women that were the leaders of the youth group, we immediately started talking about how much are we sharing here? Like, what are we going to talk about? And we were even talking about, do we share about our own sexual immorality from our teenage years? Is that helpful? Is it not helpful? And then one of the ladies is also a part of the Bible study said, I think one of our girls might be experiencing sexual abuse. And I think Kenda needs to share her story. And wow. I'm like, whoa, like wow. Only a week old. And
wow.
My family attended this church. And so I quickly knew if I didn't share this with my family, they're going to find out about this. And we just decided it was something that had to be shared and had to be used. And and so very quickly, everything was made known. And I told my family about it. And I even approached the man that did this, who had already... I'd sent him a letter and he had already admitted that it was true. And he was receiving my forgiveness. Wow. And I met with him again and I said, the Lord's going to be using this as ministry and I'm not going to share your name, but the Lord's going to be using this as ministry. And he said, well, you got to do what you got to do.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think if I would have had time to think about all that, I don't think I would have done it, to be honest.
Right.
But there just wasn't time to think. Everything was already, the Lord already had everything lined up. And then the rest is history. After that, our pastor, he had a healthy sexuality series that ended with my testimony. And 13 women came forward and started a recovery group that I was leading like a couple months after I had found out this was a part of my life. And again, I don't recommend that. I had not been through the healing I needed to go through at that point. But the Lord used it. And those ladies still are all a huge part of my life and probably will listen to this podcast as part of their healing journey as well.
That's right. Awesome. And that's what I wanted to kind of address, because Kenda, I'm a girl who jumps in both feet first myself. So I understand a little bit about what you're saying, but man, the grace in all of that, that the Lord gave you to be met with, you know, a safe, like acknowledgement, number one, of the abuse, and then safe family members to be able to receive that and safe friends to support you, I know is not the common, you know, situation that happens for a lot of people.
Yeah,
and
that's
so I just kind of wanted to throw a disclosure out there, because you know the grace of the Lord was all over that, and certainly where was God in that is evident.
Yeah, it's very unusual. A, for your perpetrator to admit it is very unusual. B, for family members to be supportive is very unusual. And let me be completely honest, there is still at least one family member who is anti-supportive, who has cut off all communications with all family, both sides of the family. And because of that, my parents have not been able to see for their grandchildren because of that. So there was division within the family because I brought this story out, but there was also support there too. And you know, part of healing is focusing on the healthy tools you have. Those of us who have the trauma response as part of their background, we tend to focus on all the negative, all the woe is me, where is God, I'm being punished, or I'm just too much a mess, or we tend to focus on all the things we don't have, or all of the things that have gone wrong. And part of healing is focusing on those things you do have, those things that do work. And you might only have one support person, but focus on that support person.
Right.
And I suppose for some people, for a certain period, you might only have the Lord. But the Lord, I came across a new verse today that no one's going to be cast off by the Lord forever. He does not willingly bring affliction or grief on anyone. Mm. You know, the Lord's always on his throne. Where was he when any of us were going through abuse? He was on his throne. Not happy about the state of the world and the sin that's going on in the world. He was at the same place he was as his son was dying, on his throne, not wanting to have to give up his son for the sins of the world, but doing it because there's sin in the world and all have sinned. And he's the same place he was when Lazarus died, right? I mean, he was on his throne when Lazarus died, and yet he didn't go for 3 days. That doesn't seem very right or loving when you first read it, and yet it led to one of his biggest miracles. So God was there and not willingly wanting this to be a part of my story, and yet knowing that what was meant for evil was going to be turned for good. Yes. No, I mean, God knew the end from the beginning. God knew that one day I was going to be leading an organization that has a recovery group on childhood sexual abuse and that leads hundreds of women through the healing of childhood sexual abuse. And anyone on here listening, and I know you guys know this well, I don't want to be counseled by someone who hasn't been there.
Amen.
Like, I don't care what kind of professional counselor you are, if you learned how to heal from childhood sexual abuse from a book, I don't really care. I mean, I want to hear it from someone who was there, who survived, who still has a faith and trust in the Lord in spite of this. And not only in spite of that, but whose faith is even stronger. I always think one of my favorite verses is Luke 7:47. The woman, it says her many sins have been forgiven because she loved much, but he who's been forgiven loves little. Yes, she had many sins and they had been forgiven, and that's why she loved much. Well, through this process, the one thing I did learn was, yeah, I was sinned against, and there is no shame. Gosh, I hope everyone hears out there who has experienced childhood sexual trauma, you have absolutely no shame or guilt in what happened to you.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean we don't have guilt in being a sinner in other areas.
Right.
And even in the impact, you know, some of the impact from that experience led to some other sinning. And the fact that I've got a Lord that loves me in spite of all that is huge. And I now see that more clearly than I saw it before I knew all this was a part of my story.
Right. And Kenda, you touched on it a little bit, but I kind of wanted to go back and ask, where was your relationship with the Lord when you were sitting in that Beth Moore Bible study and just in that closed off posture of like, I'm good. And where is it now? Where is it? Has it grown to?
That's a great question, Tiffany. I like to say my spiritual state was stunted. My spiritual growth was stunted. I didn't feel like I was growing. I was doing everything to grow in the Lord. I was doing a daily quiet time and being in Bible study and serving in the church and active in the church ministry, but I was not growing in my faith. I felt stunted. And one of the things I like to share that the leader of the Bible study, whose name was Beth too, the leader of the Beth Moore Bible study, whose name was Beth, she would always say, I love my Jesus. And I would get so mad because I did not have a love for Jesus that I could see she had. And I didn't even know how to love someone or anything like that. And I think that was one of the impacts of the abuse. I became a very stoic, strong, when my husband called me a robot, emotionless, very stoic, strong person that refused to allow anyone to get close to me. And therefore I didn't get close to anyone else, including my husband. And then that included the Lord too. So there was just this stiff-armed type life towards anyone, including the Lord, before all this came up. But as the Lord gently walked me through the healing, and as I could see him in every aspect of it, the walls that had built up to protect me, that I thought, you know, were going to protect me from ever being abused again, those walls started to crumble down, and the Lord started to enter into my heart, my brain, and my soul in a way that I had never experienced before. And so the love that I had for him just grew immensely as I began the healing process.
Yeah, that's so good.
I did want to touch on one thing that you did say about like with counseling and about how good it was to have someone that understood where you were. One of the things that we've talked about in CST before is that, you know, some counselors, they understand trauma, but they don't understand to the degree of like down to the nitty gritty. And sometimes a counselor is not the right counselor for you. And it's okay to say, okay, this didn't work. I need to try to find someone else. And that process is totally okay. And it's totally worth it to get into like walking the healing process with someone that can really understand you and understands all the trauma responses or, you know, just all the things that you're going through trying to recover from trauma.
Yeah, that it's so true. And at CST, I remember someone talking about how the healing process, it kind of comes in spurts. And I think it should come in spurts with seasons of rest. And you'll run one healing sprint and then you need to rest a little bit. But in that process, yeah, discovering the right counselor, it can take time and that can be so frustrating. You can want to give up very quickly if you don't connect with someone the first time, but it's important to never give up. It's important to keep going. I just saw a little meme or something on Facebook that said, when you get tired, rest, don't give up. And so, yeah, if you get tired, if you get discouraged, you can take a break and take a step back, but don't quit. Don't stop seeking help, because there are plenty of great counselors out there, and there are some good counselors that they're just not going to match with you well, and that's okay. Right. I don't match with everybody well. That's okay. So yeah, for anybody seeking help, don't be afraid to say, this isn't working, I need someone else. And don't be afraid to look for someone else. Through my healing process, I went to 3 different counselors in 3 different counseling groups. Each one helped me in the season I was in. And each time I got to a certain point of healing, and then I needed a season of rest after that. And I wouldn't doubt that I might go back to a counselor again, to be honest. Well, we'll see.
Right.
I mean, I totally get that. Like in like my healing journey, you know, I ended up writing my story, and someone had said, boy, that had to have been so cathartic for you to write your story. And I said, no, it sent me back to counseling, because as I was digging into those details again, God wanted to take me to another level of healing. And that kind of surprised me on some level, because it's like, well, wait a minute, I've already experienced some healing. What's this? And someone had just shared with me, you know, you've not taken steps back. You're just taking a different step forward. You're like getting into another area, a deeper place where God really wants to dig in there. And that was very freeing to me, because I was like, I started questioning, wow, was all of that I went through before for naught? Was there no healing? Like what's going on? And so, yeah, it's interesting and very helpful that you say, like, you can have healing and then rest and then healing and then rest. Like, I think even for me, that's what that was. Like I'd had some healing. I had a period of rest, and then I got into another place where God said, okay, all right, Jen, let's get into this part.
Yeah. And you're even in a different place. I mean, you know, I'm not the same person I was 15 years ago. And so there is deeper healing to be had, just because I understand more. I've done more life, and I understand more. And I think one of the biggest words when it comes to healing from trauma is do it again and repeat. And we don't like that. We want to do it once and done. And we live in a society of one and done. And especially in the area of forgiveness, the biggest thing I learned is forgive again. And it felt at first like if I felt like I needed to forgive again, then my first forgiveness was a failure, apparently. I didn't forgive right, or didn't forgive fully, or whatever. And the one thing I've learned is you just got to forgive again. And I shared once, I don't know that this is good theology, but when Jesus talks about forgiving 70 times 7 times, is that for one offense? Like, I got to forgive this man that did this to me 70 times, 7 times. You know, do I just have to keep repeating that forgiveness? Because new injuries come up. New traumas can come up. I can see just as I grow and walk, I can see new areas that that was probably part a hurt response, a trauma response from the past. So then I forgive again.
Yeah. And Kenda, you are like my new queen of tools. Like, I felt like we were just so equipped last week leaving CST with all kinds of tools that, as Jen and I told you earlier, we have used already, and they were just so amazing. So in saying that, you know, I like to kind of simplify things, because we all know trauma is incredibly hard to heal from, but I don't think anyone signs up to walk through their healing journey because of us gals yelling how hard it is to heal from.
Yeah.
I would love just to simplify it a bit for our audience, if you will, and just kind of walk through maybe some tools, how you maybe held on to hope through that, or where God met you and simplified things for you and your steps. You know, any advice you can give in that area, so we can just kind of kick the enemy in the teeth and say, it's hard, but it's worth it. And God's there. He's got us.
I love kicking the enemy in the teeth. That's my favorite thing to do. So, yeah, one of the first things I've learned is that none of us want to dive into healing without already having some tools to help our brain calm down when we send it into response mode. So your brain basically has two modes. It has that response mode, the react mode, which is your limbic system, and it has the cortex, the thinking, reasoning part of your brain. The limbic system, that react mode, it responds very fast. And so we quickly go there without consciously thinking about it. The cortex is slower in responding, and it takes conscious effort, thinking, to respond to that. And so one of the first things in healing is we have to start to recognize what part of the brain we're in at any given time. Like right now, the cortex is firing. I'm thinking, my cortex is firing, my fight, flight, limbic system is calmed down. But if I have a trigger or a trauma response, immediately my brain goes into that limbic system mode, that response mode. And the first step in healing is learning how to calm that response mode down, which is simply activating the cortex, getting the cortex to respond. And if we can get the cortex to respond, the limbic system will quiet down. And so there's all kinds of theories and practices that you can do to calm the limbic system down when you go into trauma response. And so one of the easiest and most effective ones that we can do anywhere is just deep breathing, taking in a 6-second breath. So taking 6 seconds to breathe in and 6 seconds to breathe out will deactivate your limbic system, will deactivate that fight, flight, or freeze mode, and activate the brain. Stretching and exercise does that too. But anything that makes you think. And so some of the tools that you can do when you go into a panic attack or an anxiety mode, write with your opposite hand. So if you write right-handed, write, "I am safe," or "Jesus loves me," with your left hand, because you can't do that without firing your cortex. And when your cortex fires, your limbic system shuts off. Any kind of rhythmic activity where I had at CST, I had the women patting their stomach and rubbing their head, or I think it's the other way around, rubbing your stomach and patting your head. We're doing two different things with two different parts of your body, forces the cortex to think. Counting, anybody that's been in counseling, a lot of times they'll teach you to count to try to get you to calm down. And sometimes that works. But the one thing I've learned recently is that if there's something that we can do without thinking, and adults like us can count to 10 without thinking, you're actually firing your limbic system, not your cortex. And so as adults, maybe you count by 3, or you count backwards from 100 by 3. And again, you're just trying to get your cortex to activate so that you deactivate the stress mode. So there's all kinds of different things you could do. Writing works, just journaling and writing. Again, writing with your opposite hand works even better. Dancing, singing, anything that makes your brain work will send you out of that stress mode. And then once you've learned to recognize, I'm in the stress mode, I need to de-stress, and you've got some tools to get you to do that, then you can start doing what, you know, what Jen did. You start going through your story and it starts bringing up trauma, and it will fire that anxiety in you, and then you just use your tools to calm it down as you walk through the trauma, as you walk through grief, as you walk through anger, as you walk through fear, as you walk through forgiveness. You just use these tools to calm your limbic system down every time it fires.
That's so good.
I tell you what I was doing this week as a result of CST. I was trying to say sentences backwards when I was feeling anxious.
That's a good idea.
I was like trying to order a sentence, like simple sentences, mind you, saying them backwards. And I was like, ooh, I really got to think about that.
Well, that was really good. Or just a word backwards. I'm sitting here looking at a word that's cast. So it's task. I don't know, but just, it makes you think. And that's all you need to do to calm down those anxieties. And of course we have to be able to do that before we start any kind of healing. Otherwise you're just re-traumatizing yourself. And that happens a lot. People go into healing and they're firing their limbic system over and over again with these memories, and they haven't been given tools to calm that down. And then the heart is racing, you're sweating, your pulse is going high, and that's not healthy for the body. So we need to learn to control that before we start working through the impact and the needed healing. But the neat thing is it's doable. We can do that.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I tell you, when I first went into counseling, I would leave every counseling session feeling worse. Mm-hmm. Before I went in the beginning, right?
Yep. Because
you're telling, it was the first time I told everything, like besides my spouse, but I mean, to someone that I did not know. And I had to do it by looking at the floor. And I would think, is that Berber carpet? Like, you know, just trying to like get through the moment of talking about this stuff. So.
What's interesting, Jen, as you do that, as you look at the floor and say, what kind of carpet is that? You're doing mindfulness. And that's a key word now in psychological circles is mindfulness. And so whenever you're getting out of telling a story or a traumatic part, just being mindful of your surroundings and going, what do I see here? I see this. And what does that mean to me? It means this. And then that will calm you down a little bit.
Yeah.
That's so good. So we're kind of, I would love for us to go have a full circle moment here. So the Lord took you from so many traumatic things in your life, Kinda, that you were so brave to share with us. And now he's doing an amazing work through you and through the Eve Center. And so I would love for you to share a little bit more about the Eve Center and what you do in the daily and what you have kind of just the tools that you have there and what you've seen happen through your life there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity for that, because those of us at the Eve Center say we're the best kept secret in Cincinnati. But the healing or the Eve Center has been around since 2004, and we offer no cost. All of our services are no charge. Healing services, we call it peer counseling, and we call it peer counseling because we're not professional counselors, we're peer counselors, but we're trained peer counselors. We have a 13-week training program to equip Christian women to be peer counselors, and then we meet with women in what looks like a typical counseling setting, either one-on-one for 10 weeks or more, or in a recovery group or book study. Where we walk women through healing, through emotional, relational, and spiritual health and growth and healing. And of course, one of our recovery groups is called HATCH. It stands for Healing Abuse Through Christ's Help. And it's for healing for childhood sexual abuse. We also have a recovery group called HEART, which is healing and education in abortion-related trauma. So it's post-abortive healing. And then our goal group is grief healing, if you've lost a loved one. And our rose group is for relationship healing. Anybody that's been in an abusive relationship or a destructive relationship, rose stands for relationships overcoming struggles through encouragement. And so it's a recovery group to help women heal from the impact of destructive relationships. So those recovery groups are all offered a couple times a year at the Eve Center. You can check out evecenter.org and click on the services tab to see information on how to sign up or get started with any of those services. And again, they're no charge. We have three locations in the Cincinnati area, in Silverton, in Loveland, and in Cleves. Silverton's kind of central in the Kenwood Mall area. Loveland is a little northeast, and Cleves is west side of Cincinnati.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask a question too, related to just recovery and getting into counseling and all of those things. What would you say to someone who is just stepping into this, isn't really sure where God is taking them and whether it's worth it or not? Like what have you seen coming out of like multiple years of counseling through Eve Center and what have you, what would you say to that person that's just like, I don't know?
Yeah. The first thing I would say is I am a total skeptic on healing too. And through my entire healing journey was very skeptical of it. But now that I see the new me compared to the old me, it is so worth the struggle in doing it. And I totally understand the fear and the lack of trust and the concern that is there in getting help. But it is so worth getting the help. You really go from feeling like you are just surviving life to feeling like you're thriving in life. Yeah. And we don't, you know, before the healing, I just wanted to get through a day. I mean, and now I look forward to every day. And I don't think we were meant to walk this life just trying to survive and just trying to keep our head above water. I want to thrive. But sometimes to thrive, we've got to go back and visit some traumatic parts of our past and heal from them. And there are a lot of women out there, like those of us here, and a lot of others who do understand, who have been there. And they might not want to share their story on a podcast. Not everybody needs to do that. But there's a lot of women that are safe for you to share your story with. And I think that's the key thing. Keep seeking someone who's safe. And of course, if you're listening to this podcast, you've got a connection to a few of those. Eve Center has a great safe place. Crossroads yeah. has CST, which is a great safe place. And
yeah.
and the Beauty for Ashes group, which is an awesome safe place for healing.
Yeah.
Yes, I have utilized Eve Center's services, so I know that they are a great place. I give a personal plug there. Had a great yeah. counselor who kind of walked me through some stuff. So yeah, it's a great, great place. I love what you guys do. You could just
here's the neat thing to anybody wondering, Jen, I didn't even realize you had been a part. I'm the executive director, and we are so good at confidentiality. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really is the best kept secret. I have done a book study through the Eve Center as well on boundaries. So,
I
told a lot of people about the Eve Center and their services. So it's amazing. Yeah. And we are so blessed to have you all in our area, like as a tool. Like, it's just amazing. And it's incredible. And so, and you just make it so easy to allow others to take their next step and really take the excuses of it costs too much money and all the things out of the equation so they can do that freely. So that's amazing.
Yeah. 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 We'll connect you with someone that's been through the same thing you're going through. So it's safe. So we take away that barrier. It's a safe place and there's no cost. So yeah, big encouragement is if you're out there and you're wondering, do I need to get healing from this? Then the answer is yes. If you're wondering, yeah. the answer is yes.
Yes.
And we're only, it's a funny phrase that we've used for a lot of years, and that is you're only as sick as your secrets. And it's yeah. not, you have to tell your secrets to everyone. You don't need to like be very public with it. But you do need to have a safe person. And that might even just be yes. a counselor to tell your secrets to, because that takes the power out of them and that allows God to step in and start the healing.
Yes, yes. And we'll open your eyes to the way you see God working in everyday life.
Yeah.
For sure. As you start to heal, you'll see your eyes will open to God everywhere all around you and how he is vigorously defending your cause.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Vigorously defending your cause.
Yeah, that's out of Jeremiah 50:33.
I love that. Oh, that makes me just, you know, it's like I go through moments where I'm like, oh, can I adore God anymore? And then I'll hear something and I'll be like, oh, yeah, there it is.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah, he's so good.
Well, I know we're about to wrap things up, Kenda, but is there anything you really just want to share with our audience and just encourage them or pray, whatever that is for you? I would just love to give you that opportunity.
Yeah, I think the final thing is, if we don't go through healing and we have trauma in our past, there tends to be bitterness and unforgiveness. And that just destroys your own self, your own mind, and your own body. Mm. And you don't get rid of that without walking through the healing. And I know forgiveness is a tough word. And I know bitterness is so easy to hang on to, but we have to learn to let those things go. We have to learn to forgive and let that bitterness go, because it's just destroying our bodies and our minds and making us unhappy. And we were meant to be joy-filled, happy people. I'll leave with one of my favorite scriptures from Isaiah 61, verse 10. I'm overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me in the clothing of salvation. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like we should have this joy knowing that we're saved by Jesus. And it's often hindered if we haven't dealt with our past traumas.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Boy, it's been good. I kind of hate to end this.
I appreciate you guys having me. It's been a joy. It's fun getting to know you guys.
Oh, thank you. Love you.
It's been an honor, Kenda. It's been an amazing time. Thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest. I know that our audience will be so blessed by the wisdom you shared today. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, guys. Until next time.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.